Welcome to another Launch Out, Going Deeper with Jesus, a podcast with Bishop Tommy McGee. We're excited that you're here with us today. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about discipleship. Bishop McGee serves as the Executive Director of Discipleship for the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. And this topic comes out of a conversation that we had as a team in discipleship. Bishop McGee offered to us six words or assumptions of discipleship. We're going to unpack those with you today and try and come up with some ways that maybe this could be an effective tool for you as you think about the work of discipleship, as you think about ministry, in whether it's a professional context or in a lay context. We're all called to be disciple makers, and this will be helpful for us as believers and followers of Jesus. So let's get started. Bishop, I remember this day that you came in and said, hey, I want to share something with everyone. And I immediately thought, this is a critical insight for us, not only as a department as we think about our roles as we serve the church, but also for local pastors and ministers and leaders and believers as we think about discipleship. So the first word that you gave us was that a disciple is a learner. Help, kind of walk us through, unpack that for us.
John, let me mention that one of the things that happens in discipleship, you have leaders that gather our small groups. There's always this concept of what is a disciple? How do you define it? How do you recognize it when you see it?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of out of that backdrop that that I wrote these words that I think are significant in the life and the growth of a Christian. And so the Bible tells us that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And what it meant, disciple, simply means a follower of someone's teaching or someone's lifestyle. And so the first element to me is learning, that a disciple is someone who learns. That's one of the things we're talking about launching out and going deeper. You know, there are far too many Christians who have an experience with Christ but don't get on this pathway. And the first way of a marker as you get on this pathway is being a learner.
Wow.
I remember in Acts chapter 2, after the day of Pentecost, the Bible describes what the believers did after this great day, this great experience. And the very first thing it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching.
Yeah.
As we think about that, the early church would gather. They didn't have a Bible like we have. They may have had Old Testament, but they didn't have a Bible that taught about Jesus and about his life. And so the apostles who were with them simply taught people about their experiences with Jesus. And so to be a disciple, those disciples who followed him during his ministry, they were learning from him directly.
Right.
And then after he was ascended into heaven, they became teachers of what they learned.
Yes.
And so then the people who came to Christ, let's say the thousands who were saved on the day of Pentecost, ended up in groups of people, we don't know how large or small, and they learned more about Jesus.
Yeah.
And so learning and going deeper and training, and in fact, Jesus in the Great Commission, he said, teach them to observe the things that I've commanded you. So 101 in discipleship is, what did Jesus teach us? And trying to learn as much about it and make application in our lives. So the word learning or a learner is just the opening of the door. And we should always have a learning posture.
Yes.
We should always...
Yes.
Be open and searching. We can read passages in Scripture and read something that Jesus said or something he did, and we can, the Holy Spirit can illuminate that to us to where we see Jesus and we understand more about him. And learning is a great, I mean, it's an adventure, and it's a so wonderful thing when you get new insight.
Right.
And it thrills your soul to learn that about Jesus. But, of course, it's meant to do more than thrill us. It's meant to change us.
Wow. I think that maybe that's where a great starting point when you think about the variety of ways that we can engage with Jesus in various spiritual disciplines. When we talk about scripture engagement, Bible reading, Bible memorization, Bible meditation, we're not saying, well, this is just for kicks and giggles. How else can you learn until you've engaged with the source material to find out the way to learn more about Jesus and those who followed him? But we know that it can't just stay in learning, because too much learning without application, too much learning, too much knowledge without the transference to our lives. So that came to the second L. Right. And folks, if you don't know Bishop McGee or you haven't heard him speak, he's a master alliterator. So buckle up. We've got more L's coming. So assumptions of discipleship, words for discipleship, they're going to be learners. The second thing that you shared with us was that there's a living that's right. involved. Help us with that one.
Well, information has to become transformation.
Wow. Yeah.
Just to have a lot of knowledge about Jesus and not put it into daily living indicates that there's something wrong in the discipleship process. If I know a whole lot more about Jesus than what I've endeavored to apply in my life, then I read a statement or heard a statement recently that many of our people are overtrained but underdeveloped.
Wow.
And so the learning is the training, but the living is how you develop and you become more like Christ. Not you just know more about him, but you become more like him. And that's where I think one of the things that people write about that I think is significant under this word is the word coaching, that that we need to be a learner who has not just learned information. It's not just information transference, you know, like, here, I've got this body of knowledge and I'll give it to you.
Right.
But it's let's walk together
and
learn what it means as we live out the gospel and as we live out the teachings of Jesus. And one of the critical things in that is the work of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said that he'll bring things to your remembrance. So to me, a person who is becoming a disciple or is a disciple is they're learning things, and then as they live it out, you'll hear them say things like, I remember Jesus said, or I remember what Jesus did. And so then you pattern yourself and say, oh, I'm gonna do what I think Jesus would do.
Wow.
And so that's the living part of it. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who have learned a whole lot more than they've lived.
Yeah.
And that's true of all of us probably, that we still have some living to do to catch up with what we've learned.
Mm.
And so that's a part of the discipleship process is, you know, I want to not just learn about Jesus, I want to live Jesus.
Yeah, you've been using this phrase recently, this activate language. Like sometimes we know so much, yet it's not active. It's not active in our lives. It's not at work in us. And that living component, fleshing that out, or infleshing it, really, right. You know, becoming words of life for us. Sometimes we've talked about accountability, and you like to use the phrase, how's it going in your life? How's it going in your life? You know, a simple question that if we can get past it's good, which is maybe the default response, because we don't want people to know. But that level of vulnerability that comes when we can combine the two, our learning and our living, and that sets us up for the third L, which is loving. Talk to us about that, how that combines with these.
Well, the more we learn about Christ and the more we emulate him, we'll find ourselves being a loving people.
Mm.
Jesus said, this is how you'll know my disciples, because they love one another.
Right.
And the great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. So a person who is being developed, they're not just learning, but they're living, they will become a loving person.
Wow.
And the love of Jesus will shine through them, their acts of kindness that they do for people. the smile that they give, the pat on the back, the little text message that just says something loving and affirming. That's what the body of Christ should be like, and when we join together. And I want to say this. I think this is one of the things that our enemy loves to fragment. Mm. He loves to try to destroy, is the love that people have for each other. I heard someone say years ago that the devil would rather start a church fuss than to sell a barrel of whiskey.
Wow.
That he, you know, he loves to put people at odds and create something that's not this loving, but despising. And I'm shocked, and been shocked through the years in leadership and ministry, how many places I've gone where the love of Jesus, something had happened to it. And the church was not what it could be or should be because that love factor, something had damaged it. And I think that if you, as we talk about these words and these benchmarks, I think we can recognize that some people get stopped certain. They don't continue being developed. So if you see a Christian that knows a lot of scripture and all of that, but they don't love people, you know that something's wrong. The process of discipleship is not, it's been dwarfed. And
that's right.
It's been, something stopped it, and, you know.
Yeah, I think we can all think of a character from a story or a character from our own lives, someone who knew so much about church life and about the Bible, and yet they were the meanest, nastiest, cruelest people that you can imagine. There's a blockage, right? There was something that didn't happen in their lives to allow them to begin to experience the love of Christ so they could share the love of Christ. So learning, living, loving, and that leads us to starting to think about disciple making, leading.
Right.
Yeah, talk to us about that.
Well, if we are learning more about Christ, we part of what we learn is how he reached out to people, how he redeemed them to himself, how he found them in the lowest place of their life and brought them to him. Think of the woman caught in adultery. You know, what lower place could someone be at as being the verge of being stoned by those who had brought her to Jesus? And Jesus, he showed grace and love to her. And so as we learn, as we live, and as we're more loving, then it automatically means when we know someone who is outside of this relationship with Jesus, we should love them to Jesus. There's a lot of emphasis on evangelism of what we say to people, you know, Romans Road or the scriptures, and we get all of that down pat. But the most successful way of leading to people to Jesus is what I read in a book years ago about a man who had a home for national and foreign students, and it was remarkable how many people came to know Christ by living in his guest house or whatever. And they asked him the secret, and what he said was, he said, I loved them until they asked me why.
Wow.
So
if
we love people, we want to lead them to the same Savior that has saved us and means so much in our life. You know, we love the person who's lost, and we tell them about what Jesus means to us. And so therefore we evangelize. And, you know, and the whole purpose of discipling is to become a discipler.
That's right.
And to start that process with somebody else. It's not just getting a profession of faith.
Right.
But it's introducing them as to how to become a disciple, not just someone who has an experience, but someone who lives out that experience.
Mm. So, I mean, that's a powerful setup that you're already starting to think about restarting the process in someone else's life. Right. If you're a learner, someone who's living what they're learning and they're loving Jesus and they're sharing this love, then you begin to lead someone else to be a lead, to be a learner, and to start to live it out. That's this multiplication process of discipleship. The last L that you shared, these five, was longing. You said it was a desire for Jesus above all things, and that God's will may be done. Well, tell me why that's an important part of a disciple.
Well, I think when a person has developed through these things, they are a learner. They're living out what they learn. They're loving people and leading people to Christ. That their prayer life is not just a list of wants, you know, where they cry out to the Father and say, "Would you give me this? Would you give me that?" But it's becomes more of a longing to say, "Jesus, I want your will to be accomplished." It's like in the Lord's Prayer, when we're taught to, or when we hear Jesus praying in the garden, when he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Right. It's that, it's the longing. And I think that people who have developed along these lines of what we've already discussed, they long for others to be saved, and they pray to that end, and they long to see God's will in their life. They long to see God's will in their community and in their church and their nation. And so they long for the kingdom. Thy kingdom come.
Wow.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think the Christian, as they've developed to that point, they're longing for Jesus. They're longing for him to come, establish his kingdom, come and take us out of this world of sin and sorrow, and let us live in eternity with you. I think becomes even more evident as someone approaches the end of life. My mother-in-law suffered with leukemia, and I had a brother-in-law who at that time wasn't a Christian, but he knew that his mother-in-law loved him just like I knew she loved me. But he said in taking care of her in the latter days, he said that she had always talked to him about Jesus. But he said, literally, when I would pick her frail body up to move her from the sofa to a chair or whatever, he said, I heard her talking to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And saying, you know, things like, "Lord, please come. Please take me." And so I think as we develop and the closer we get to the end of our journey, that longing to be with Jesus will be there. And even in our dying days, we might lead people to Christ.
Right.
As they see us die gracefully. You know, that's what we all want. Mm. And pray that
right.
God would let us, you know, die in grace. I told my wife that I really wanted to be a sweet old man. She told me I better get started. In other words, I need to be sweeter and all of that. But but there's a longing. It's to hear someone pray who is this kind of disciple is inspiring and challenging. And they pray for their enemies. You know, they pray for those who have done them wrong. It's just that longing for things to be the way God wants them to be.
Yeah. I think about that, this desire. It's a progression of maturity in many ways. Right. That it's only with maturity that a person can begin to see that the world really doesn't have much to offer. Right. And our prayers can change and our longings change. Because suddenly we're not longing what Jesus can offer us or do for us.
Right.
Sometimes that's how people come to faith. They see what he offers. But maturity says he's the treasure.
Right.
He's the journey. He's the summation.
A song that I used to hear them sing when I was growing up was a song that says, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." It's the recognition that there's a better place,
yeah,
and there's a better home.
And for many, for believers, death's not an end. There's nothing to fear. That's been conquered. And yet we're in the kingdom now. And we know that the prayer of your mother-in-law, come Jesus.
Yeah.
That wasn't an anguish. That wasn't an agony. That was a
longing in her heart.
That was longing.
Be with him.
Yeah. Well, all of these are wrapped up with one more L, and that's lordship. Tell me how that helps connect the dots.
Well, I think lordship, another word for it is surrender, to where we surrender our wills, we surrender our lives, we surrender our resources, and recognize that they all belong to him. And so stewardship comes out of that lordship. We want him to be the Lord of our lives. We don't want to be in charge. We don't want to be in control. And I think as we process through the other things that we've talked about, that lordship is just a natural thing. It encompasses these things. And so a life that's surrendered to the Lord. I often hear people say, and I've said it myself, about people that I love or family members. You know, I would say, well, I believe they're a Christian, but I want to see the lordship of Jesus. You know, you want to see the evidence that this person prefers Jesus and what he teaches above what they think and what they want. So the lordship, you know, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord and do not the things I do?
Wow.
So when you follow the pattern we've been talking about, you do the things, and therefore you can call him Lord.
Yeah.
He knows whether we qualify to really be able to say, Jesus is Lord.
Right.
Of my life.
And, right.
And that's really kind of the end goal for our process of discipleship, is we want the people who are being discipled to that all of these things come together and you say, I believe somebody else is Lord of this person. It's not, they're not living for themselves. Just based on their own opinions, they're living their life in submission and surrender to what they've learned and what they've lived and how they've loved and leading and longing. All those say, you know, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Mm. I surrender. I give it all to you. Mm. And so I think that's a part of the longing as well, as, you know, Jesus, I want, if there's anything that's not
under your lordship, root it out. Expose it.
Like the psalmist who said, search me, O God, and try me and know my ways and see if there's any wicked way in me that it might be that it might depart from me.
Yeah.
That's what a person prays when they're dealing with the lordship of Jesus.
Mm. Wow. Wow. So as we think about these terms, this thinking about discipleship in these ways, what's a quick way that a local church could begin to implement this in their context? What's a way that this could be useful for church leaders or for disciple makers to begin to think about how they implement discipleship?
Tony, I think you could take these words and you could say and do kind of an evaluation of where you are in ministry. And one of the things that concerns me is I think it's easy now to preach something other than Jesus. It's easier to talk about a lot instead of teaching people about Jesus. So I think we evaluate our preaching, we evaluate our teaching.
Yeah.
We evaluate what we do. Are we teaching?
Yeah.
And are the people in our church, are they learning?
Are they learning? Yeah.
And so I think every pastor should long to see all of his people in this learning process. I think it's, you know, there are various ways. I think pastors can teach classes on discipleship. I think people can disciple one-on-one or in small groups. But make sure those small groups, that's an atmosphere and an environment where we're learning about Jesus. So we're saying, he is my Savior, but I want him to be my Lord. And And so you start off by teaching and training, and then you almost have to have a group or a mentor or someone's account that you're accountable to, that in order for this living component. And I think we heard someone say years ago that when it comes to the local church, it's not about your seating capacity, it's about your sending capacity.
Wow.
You know, not how many people are seated in the congregation, but how many are really being sent into the world as disciples of Christ, and so they are learning, living, and you know, and I think it's a good thing for leaders. This would be a great thing to sit down with church leaders in a retreat and say, are we a loving people? Mm. You know, if we're not, let's find ways of doing things that express love to our community. Does our community even know we exist and why we exist and what we're here for?
Yeah.
And it could lead the church to be much more outward focused and loving people, and then leading them to Christ and bringing them into the church where they can be discipled as well. So it's, I think we make discipleship more complicated than it has to.
Sure.
I think that a simple thing to do would be start with just teaching the words of Jesus. You know, just teach. What did he say? Because, you know, he said, teaching them to observe the things that I've commanded. Well, then what are those things?
Right.
And so you have to focus on what he said and what he did. And so I think we have to ask ourselves, is that what we're doing in our local church? Or have we gotten caught in kind of a habit of just doing church without concentrating on, are we developing people? Because when we have people in our church that have been there for many years, but it doesn't look like they've grown, then the church is not doing. You know, to me, it's not just about getting converts; it's about getting disciples and seeing their life transformed.
Yeah, boy, it's funny. One of those questions that you can easily ask a group or ask yourself. If you want to know how you're doing, whether it's about lordship or longing, find out how you respond when you don't get your own way.
Yeah.
And you'll start to see how you're, the way that you're interacting with Jesus on those levels or with other people. I think this is a conversation we could continue as we think through it and we think about applications. As you listen to this, we hope that this is an encouragement to you, and maybe this is a tool that you can begin to implement in your own ministry about thinking through the ways that you're doing discipleship and thinking about it critically, reflecting on it as we invite people to come to Jesus and we see them transformed by His grace. We pray that you're encouraged. We pray that you are strengthened in the work that you're doing. Bishop, I'm going to ask you to close us out in a word of prayer.
Okay. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son into the world to live and to die and to return to be with you. And Father, I pray for my own life, and I pray for our listeners that we would learn more about you, that we wouldn't be satisfied with what we currently know, but we would become more diligent in our studies of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And as we do that, Lord, I pray that we would see it begin to manifest itself in our lives, in our living, and in how we become more loving people and we lead others to you. Father, I pray that you would help to simplify this in the minds of those who are in leadership and help us to not make it so complicated and just simply ask those questions. Are we learning? Are we living what we learn? Are we becoming more loving? And are we leading other people and longing for Jesus? I think that, Lord, you want to do that in our lives. And so I pray that you'd help us. Let it start with me. And let me be a better learner and a liver and someone who loves and longs. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us today to say, hey, we can do this because not only do we need to, but you want us to even more than we do. And you'll meet us as we engage in being a disciple and growing and maturing in you, Lord Jesus. We pray and ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen.